I remember looking at my small back patio and feeling a sense of defeat. I wanted to grow enough food to actually matter, but the square footage just wasn't there. Then I stopped looking at the ground and started looking at the walls. Vertical gardening is more than just a decor trend or a way to grow a few herbs in a kitchen window. For the homesteader, it is a strategic move toward true self-reliance when space is your biggest enemy. It is about reclaiming the air. When you learn to grow up instead of out, you unlock a massive amount of production. You can grow heavy squash, climbing beans, and towers of greens in places you once thought were useless. I want to show you how to build systems that don't just look pretty, but actually put calories on your table. It starts with a shift in perspective and a few solid DIY structures. Let's get to work. Chapter 1. The Vertical Blueprint. The Foundation of the Climb. When I first decided to take my garden vertical, I made the mistake of thinking any wall would do. I leaned some cheap lattice against a fence and expected a bounty. By July, the weight of the vines had snapped the wood, and my crop was a tangled mess on the ground. That was my first lesson in the why of vertical gardening. It is not just about saving space. It is about engineering a system that supports life against the constant pull of gravity. The scope of vertical success. The first thing I do when planning a vertical site is a sun audit. In a traditional garden, the sun hits the ground relatively evenly. In a vertical garden, the top of your trellis might be in scorching heat while the bottom is in deep shade. I spend at least 2 full days watching how the light moves across my walls or fences. You need at least 6 to 8 hours of direct light if you want to grow real food like cucumbers, squash, or pole beans. If you only have 4 hours, you are limited to leafy greens. The second part of the scope is structural integrity. Soil is heavy. Water is heavier. A 5-gallon bucket full of wet soil and a mature tomato plant can weigh over 50 pounds. If you have 10 of those hanging on a standard suburban fence, you are asking for a collapse. I always check my local codes if I am attaching anything to a permanent structure. On my homestead, I prefer freestanding A-frames or heavily anchored posts. Why it matters, the physics of food, we grow vertically to maximize our capability. If I have 10 square feet of ground, I can grow maybe 2 zucchini plants. If I use that same 10 square feet to anchor a 7-foot-tall cattle panel arch, I can grow 4 squash plants, a dozen climbing peas, and a carpet of lettuce underneath them. This is the math of self-reliance. It allows a person with a small lot to produce a harvest that rivals a farm, but it only works if the why is grounded in physics. You must respect the weight. You must plan for the wind. A vertical garden is essentially a giant sail. If it isn't anchored, a summer storm will take your food supply and toss it over the neighbor's house. Selecting the right crops. Not every plant wants to climb. To produce real food, I focus on indeterminates and vining varieties. I look for pole beans rather than bush beans. I look for vining cucumbers rather than patio varieties. These plants are genetically programmed to reach for the sky. I also consider the calorie-to-climb ratio. Growing a wall of heavy pumpkins is impressive, but for a field guide approach, I recommend small fruited varieties like sugar pie pumpkins or tromboncino squash. They are easier to support and provide more consistent meals. Mapping the load. Before I drive a single nail, I draw a load map. I decide exactly where the heaviest plants will live. I put the heavy feeders and heavy fruiters at the strongest points of the structure, usually near the support posts. I save the middle of the spans for lighter crops like peas or Malabar spinach. This keeps the structure balanced and prevents sagging. I have found that the most successful vertical gardeners are the ones who treat their garden like a building project first and a biological project second. If the bones of the garden are strong, the plants will do the rest of the work for you. If you start with a flimsy foundation, you will spend your entire growing season trying to fix what is broken instead of harvesting what is ripe. Building up is an act of defiance against limited space. Chapter 2. Systems and Soil. Building the Backbone. I start every new vertical season by inspecting my hardware. On my homestead, I have moved away from flimsy plastic or thin wood. If you want to produce real food, you need industrial strength supports. My favorite system is the cattle panel arch. These are 16-foot-long panels made of heavy-gauge wire. When you bend them into a U-shape and anchor them with T-posts, you create a walk-through tunnel that is nearly indestructible. I like this system because it allows the fruit to hang down, making it easy to see and harvest. Tools and materials for the build. To build a reliable vertical system, I keep a specific kit ready. You will need heavy-duty T-posts, at least 6 feet tall, A post driver, this saves your arms and ensures the posts are deep enough. Cattle panels or concrete remesh, galvanized wire or heavy-duty zip ties, a level to ensure your vertical lines are true. For wall-mounted systems, I use French cleats or heavy-duty brackets. Never trust a single screw to hold a productive planter. I always find the stud in the wall or use masonry anchors if I am working with brick. The vertical soil paradox: soil in a vertical system behaves differently than soil in the ground. If you are using hanging pockets, buckets, or stacked towers, the soil will dry out 3 times faster than a traditional garden. I never use topsoil from the ground in these systems. It is too heavy and it compacts, suffocating the roots. I mix my own vertical medium. I use a ratio of 1 part peat moss or coconut coir for moisture retention, 1 part perlite for aeration, and 1 part high-quality compost for nutrition. Because vertical plants are often crowded to maximize space, they are heavy feeders. I add a slow-release organic fertilizer at the beginning of the season. Why it matters: root health and drainage. In a vertical setup, drainage is your best friend and your worst enemy. If the water drains too fast, the plants wilt. If it doesn't drain at all, the roots rot because there is no deep earth for the excess moisture to escape to. This is why the soil mix matters. Self-reliance means knowing exactly what is in your food's engine room. By mixing your own soil, you ensure that even in a 12-inch deep planter, your plants have the oxygen and nutrients they need to produce heavy fruit. Intensive nutrient management. Because gravity is constantly pulling water and nutrients down through your vertical pots, you have to replenish them more often. I call this spoon feeding. Instead of fertilizing once a month, I use a diluted liquid seaweed or fish emulsion every 2 weeks. This ensures that as the water washes through the system, there is always a fresh supply of minerals for the plants to grab. It is a more active way of gardening, but the yield per square inch is much higher. Safety checks: before I plant, I do a stress test. I grab the top of my trellis or the edge of my hanging garden and give it a firm shake. If it wobbles, it isn't ready. I also check for sharp edges on the wire panels. I use a file to smooth down any burrs that might cut the vines or my hands during harvest. Being capable means being prepared for the physical reality of the work. Once the structure is rock solid and the soil is balanced, the stage is set for a massive harvest. Chapter 3: Maintenance and Yield. The daily rhythm of the vertical garden. Every morning, I walk my vertical lines. In a traditional garden, you might be able to ignore things for a few days, but vertical gardening requires a more hands-on approach. I start by checking the lead of the vines. Plants like cucumbers and pole beans have a mind of their own. If left to themselves, they will wander off the trellis and into the yard. I gently guide the new growth back toward the support, sometimes using a soft garden tie to keep them in place. The art of vertical pruning. To produce real food, you have to be ruthless with your shears. This is the part many people struggle with. In a vertical system, airflow is vital. If the foliage gets too thick, you invite powdery mildew and pests. I prune away the suckers on my tomato plants and remove the bottom 12 inches of leaves on almost everything. This allows air to circulate and directs the plant's energy into the fruit rather than more leaves. I also practice top-down pruning. Once a plant reaches the top of the trellis, I pinch off the growing tip. This tells the plant to stop getting taller and start ripening the fruit it already has. It keeps the harvest within reach and prevents the structure from becoming top-heavy. Why it matters: gravity-fed efficiency. One of the biggest advantages of this system is how it simplifies care. I use gravity to my advantage. I set up a simple irrigation line at the top of my vertical towers, and the water trickles down to every level. This saves an enormous amount of water compared to a sprinkler. It also keeps the leaves dry, which is the why behind disease prevention. Most garden diseases are soil-borne and splashed onto leaves by rain or hoses. Since my vertical fruit and leaves are high off the ground, they stay cleaner and healthier. Succession and continuous harvest. Self-reliance isn't just about one big harvest, it's about having food all season. Because vertical gardening is so organized, it's easy to see where I have empty pockets. As soon as my early peas start to fade in the heat, I am already planting climbing Malabar spinach or yard-long beans in their place. I treat my vertical space like a rotating assembly line. Troubleshooting and fixes. If I notice leaves turning yellow, I check the drainage holes immediately. In vertical containers, these can often get plugged by roots. I keep a small dowel or screwdriver handy to clear the holes. If a heavy squash looks like it's going to fall off the vine, I create a sling out of old t-shirts or mesh bags and tie it to the trellis. This supports the weight of the fruit so it doesn't snap the vine. Closing the loop. When the season ends, I don't just rip everything down. I compost the spent vines and store my T-posts and panels in a dry place. Care for your tools is just as important as care for your plants. A well-maintained vertical system will last for a decade or more, providing a reliable source of food year after year. Standing in the middle of a lush, vertical tunnel of food is one of the most rewarding feelings on the homestead. It proves that you don't need acres of land to be a producer. You just need the right structure and the discipline to maintain it. Vertical gardening turns a flat landscape into a three-dimensional pantry.